The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, the Doctrine of Restorations and Dispersions of Israel, page 2 of your notes. God desires those that worship Him to worship in spirit and in truth. God, the Holy Spirit, has been given to each believer to lead us into truth and to reveal to us the prophetic future. Our dependency on God, the Holy Spirit, is obvious. You must be in fellowship. You must be in sync with God, the Holy Spirit, in order to understand information communicated to you. Whatever doctrine you have, an understanding you have, correct understanding, is because you were in fellowship under face-to-face teaching. This is the designated environment for spiritual growth and application, the local church. So let's take the usual time to be sure that we are in the right frame of mind to receive and appreciate this information. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, another opportunity, this side of phase 3, to grow in grace and knowledge, to have capacity for you and your plan, to understand that you are in perfect control of the events of human history, advancing day by day to bring about the glorious conclusion of the coming of our Lord and the establishment of your kingdom on this earth, and our privilege to rule and reign with you in your eternal kingdom. Thank you for this assembly. Bless our time and fellowship together. In Jesus' name, amen. The reason God initiates the final return, as noted in our previous classes, of the Jews to the land of promise, in the absence of compliance with Leviticus 26, this is Roman numeral 14, 26:40 and following, is in response to the quote unquote insults of the nations. Through the long history of Israel in dispersion, the Gentile nations have been running their mouths and poo-hooing the whole idea of the Abrahamic covenant and the future establishment of Israel in their promised homeland. Well, these insults have been ongoing for centuries. And God, in the last days, is beginning to turn the tide and has begun to return the Jews to their land. This final or second restoration of Israel to the promised land and establishing them as a nation begins while the Jews are in a state of unbelief. And a key verse in that regard is Leviticus 20:36, 22. The first restoration was based on the fact, begins while the Jews are in unbelief. That's Roman numeral 15, subpoint A. It begins while the Jews are in a state of unbelief. The first restoration, they turned to the Lord in Babylon. And those were the Jews that came out and established the second commonwealth, the nation that was in place and functioning when Jesus Christ appeared on the scene. They did what they were supposed to do, and God returned a remnant to the land, and they rebuilt the land that had laid in ruins for 70 years. The final restoration, however, is predicated on a different thing. First of all, it is based on the insults of the nations. People speaking, running their mouths, and not recognizing what God is doing with Israel. The Bible is right in front of them. The Word of God is available to people to read. It's kind of interesting that in the ICE circles, this has been, at least in my observation, in the past, this has been overlooked. And it hasn't been emphasized that Israel is not back in the land by some mistake or overruling God's plan found in Leviticus with regard to the ground rules for the restoration of the Jews to their homeland. That this somehow is just overlooked, not emphasized. And yet, therefore, say to the house of Israel, to the prophet Ezekiel, thus says the Lord God, it's not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you went. They went among the nations, and they did not have a clear message, certainly did not have a clear message with regard in this last dispersion. They were in unbelief. The first dispersion, they were involved with idolatry, but at least they were believers. I'm not saying every last one of them. That's not reasonable. But in the second dispersion, they were in a state of unbelief. That's why God sent John the Baptist to call them to the Lord as the herald of the first advent. That was John's ministry. He preceded Jesus on the scene in his ministry by 6 months. And he began, they hadn't seen a prophet in eons. And one shows up out in the wilderness along the Jordan River, where Jews crossed the river, the main thing. And people flocked out to hear him from all quarters. And he told them that the Messiah was here and what they needed to do to get right with God. Believe in him. And while his ministry bore fruit, it did not turn the nation around. The nation continued to stumble along, the leadership, most of it, and the rest of them in unbelief. Well, when they were kicked out among the nations, they continued to practice their perverted form of Judaism. And it's perverted when you do not have the way of salvation and the identity of the Savior correct. It's clear. That's way off base. But they had the overt forms, do the Sabbath, be circumcised, go to synagogue, read the Old Testament, and all these things. But they're still lost, and they are not witnesses to the nations. So they profane his name among the nations. There's more than one way to profane the name of God, and that is to misrepresent the plan of God to people, to not be clear with regard to the plan, phase one, and so forth. Verse 32. I am not doing this for your sake, declares the Lord. Let it be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. Another call to get your act together. Look back at what you did and be ashamed and dismayed. At the second advent, the Jews that survive in their natural bodies will be in great remorse before the Messiah. It'll hit them and their ancestors, what they'd been doing all these centuries, misrepresenting the plan of God. And the Jews in Israel continue to do that. Oh, they've got it right that it is the promised land. They got it right that it is given to them via the Abrahamic covenant. But they're not like Abraham. Because Abraham believed and received righteousness. Physical restoration begins ahead of the spiritual, and the two proceed together. We're still in the phase of simply unbelieving Jews returning to their land from the nations. The latest group out of the Ukraine. They have a whole department of government dedicated to encouraging and helping Jews worldwide to come home. And this has been going on since Israel became a national entity. And that was on a particular day, which we have here in our notes. let's see what I got here. Ezekiel 36. You can read all these, this whole chapter. There's repetition in it, but it's important as a development. God is by no means through with Israel. In a positive way, I mean. True Israel. He is not through with them. They have simply been in captivity. However, they flourished or didn't, and all the things they have been experiencing through all these centuries. The northern tribes that were taken into captivity, they never had a return. The Assyrian dispersion. The Roman one, well, the Babylonian one, yes, they had a return. The Roman one, they began to make, God began to, he has timing for everything. And the timing for their return began in the last century, and even in the late century before it, there were noises being made. They were constantly being stirred up by this idea that this was their land, they're out of it, they need to go back. But it was always frustrated because of divine timing. The timing factor was critical. And so, Ezekiel 36:24. After he said that you, this is the indictment of Judaism today. They don't want to hear this. You spent all your time in captivity with your synagogue, with your practicing of Judaism, and you profaned my name. They are, on the surface, appear to be people of the book. They're all this, but they don't have it right. All their rabbis, all their scholars, all their people, they don't have it right. They don't have the way of salvation right. And they don't have the identity of the Savior right. They rejected him almost 2,000 years ago. And they haven't turned around. Individuals, yes. But collectively, no. Not in mass. That's about to change as we sit here today. I'm reading in Ezekiel 36. I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God. In other words, I'm going to school the nations. I'm going to show the nations that I got this plan, I got it under control, and I'm advancing it. The nation will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I'll take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. This has been in the book of Ezekiel since the time of Ezekiel, that there would be a future restoration. And he is not talking about the Babylonian restoration here. And so the process, as noted here, physical restoration begins ahead of the spiritual. There will come a time in this history of restoration and the Jews migrating back to Israel. There will come a point when the tide will turn and they, in great numbers, in the land and out of the land, will begin to turn to Jesus Christ and embrace their true Messiah, which their ancestors rejected through the centuries. They will turn to Him. They will embrace Him as Savior. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you'll be clean, and I'll cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. All the things you attached yourself to, I will clean you from that. Moreover, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh. That heart of stone is hardcore negative volition in the face of evidence. That's a heart of stone. A lot of people have it. You own the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you'll be my people and I'll be your God. And then all the other blessings that will continue to flow to Israel. But that has to take them into the millennium. That's going to have to take them into the millennium. The tribulation period for them will be very tumultuous. Very threatening. Very tumultuous. But a remnant will survive. Sign of the rapture generation is the rebirth of Israel. The rebirth of Israel. It is just one of two restorations. Isaiah 11:11, more documentation. Then it will happen on that day. The use of the word day in the Bible is used for 24 hours, and it's used for an extended period of time, as we use it in our vocabulary. The day of, and we know it might involve years. That on that day that the Lord will again recover, the second time with His hand, that's with His hand, always means His power. The remnant of His people. Who will remain? These are places of dispersion. From Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and the islands of the sea. Way far beyond. Islands of the sea. We were in Israel. I saw Asian Jews. They looked just like Asians around here. Asian Jews. In a restaurant. They had an Asian restaurant. As noted, we saw Jews from all over the place. European, Russian, African, from Ethiopia. A group of them came up out of Ethiopia. There's been some dramatic airlifts and helping Jews. They're in trouble in these nations. And the Jews in the land organized and airlifted some of them. Operation Magic Carpet. Things of that nature that you can look up. There's books on it. And a lot of this was quite dramatic. They were really being threatened in certain countries. The Jews had to be delivered from the Islam threat. Yemen, a little country in the Middle East. Yemen. And the Yemenite Jews are small people. Their stature is small. Just to say that. But they were delivered. And formed communities within Israel. Gradual worldwide immigration from the nations. The immigration from the nations. As Jeremiah 16. Therefore, behold, the days are coming. Well, we're well into them. Declares the Lord. This is a divine declaration. When it no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Obviously, they were in a hopeless state of political bondage. And that is a very dramatic story about how God brought Israel, the multitude of Jews that had grown in numbers during the time of their tenure in the land of Egypt. God's plan is perfect. It doesn't look like putting Jews in Egypt and under the thumb of an oppressive pharaohs is smart. But it allowed them to develop their numbers numerically. Because you're not going to form a nation with 70 people. It's not going to happen. And this isn't designed to be just a little tiny nation. It was designed to be a big nation. So you had to have your basic core of the first generation. And so during all those years, they were in Egypt. The time they went down with Jacob, and then the time when they came back, they're close to 2 million individuals. They came up out of Egypt and devastated the kingdom of Egypt because they wouldn't let them go. And this kingdom was brought to its knees. And the final coup de grace was the destruction of the vaunted Egyptian army. They drowned in the Red Sea. They all went. There's a whole psalm devoted to it. It's a dramatic story. And brought them into the land. There was a delay because the first generation was corrupt. The first generation is labeled as a corrupt generation. Believers, but they are corrupt. So it was their children that had grown up during the 40 years in the wilderness. Their children grew up and they had a different spirit. And the conquest occurred. So no longer will it be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But this is going to be a ways before people are celebrating this. Christians who are in the know celebrate it at this stage. But as the Lord lives, who brought up the sons of Israel from the land of the north. Okay, that's a direction. And from Jerusalem, going straight north, you'll hit Russia, you'll hit the Ukraine, you'll hit that area. Jews were scattered into the northern hemisphere areas. And from all the countries where he had banished them, I will restore them to their own land, which I gave to their fathers. Behold, I'm going to send many fishermen. Well, fishermen go out to fish and find these pockets of fish, and that's what we do when we fish. So the fishermen are Jews who are organizing other Jews and encouraging them to go home. That's the fishermen. That's individual Jews who are stirred up and are in a position to help other Jews, the average Jew, if you will, to get back to Israel. That's part of this history. Declares the Lord, and they will fish for them. And afterwards I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them from every mountain. A mountain is a kingdom. And from every hill, a smaller entity. And from the clefts of the rocks. Okay. The millennial phase. Excuse me. The millennial phase, the whole house of Israel dwells safely in their land. That's ultimate. That's the ultimate situation. From all the Jews, from the founding fathers, all the way forward, they'll have to all be resurrected, of course, brought back from the dead, and set in the land. And then the surviving Jews of our time who live through the tribulation and make it in their natural bodies, they will repopulate in the nation. That's the millennial phase. And so the millennial phase, the whole house of Israel dwells safely in the land with no more threats of any kind. And they are positive and obedient to the plan of God, the likes of which has never occurred in their history. There have been some bright spots in their history, obviously. Times when the nation was we would consider reasonably spiritually healthy. This is in the prophets, all this information. And this is in connection with another covenant. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord. Jeremiah 31:31. When I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. God is party of the first part. I'm making a covenant with you. The house of Israel harks back to the original ten tribes when they split. And the house of Judah was the southern kingdom, the prominent tribe. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. That's the Mosaic. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. I was their husband in a marriage analogy. But the woman was exceedingly flaky, unreliable, and unfaithful in this marriage contract called the Mosaic Covenant. Sometimes worse than others, but still. They will not... I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor, and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I remember no more. Of course, that's an aspect of the Christian way of life. Your past is your past. He remembers it no more. It's like you came out of a bad car wreck, and you're alive, you're okay, maybe a few bruises, but you're okay. You move on. You don't spend your time wallowing in your past failures. That is, not glorify God. Understand that. It's a new day, and you move forward. We do have a verse that's it's a commandment that we're to forget those things which are behind. That was yesterday, the day before, down the line. Forget it. Write it off. The bad stuff, the failures, and things of this nature. Obviously, we can't forget the past. Forget. But we're not to hold it against ourselves. That's the meaning of the idea here. We're not to hold it against ourselves. Be down on ourselves. That does not glorify God. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ. You got Bible doctrine, and forget about all that. It's over. New life in a way. Okay. So, the Christ will rule over them when restoration is fully completed. First, you have the gradual worldwide immigration, which we just, as I said, got a new shot. They're trying to figure out how they can assimilate a whole bunch of people from the Ukraine. Israel's not a monster nation. And they have to assimilate these people, provide housing, and get them food and jobs, and get them settled. Because basically, pretty much, they came out of there with the shirt on their back. They haven't had time to, you know, get everything and put it in a U-Haul. But that's God's way of fulfilling His word and bringing the Jews home. The largest collection of them are living in the comfort of Babylon, America. I think that's the statistics. You could look up statistics on the number of Jews that are still resident in the nations at large. And you will certainly find that the greatest number of them are in the United States, numbered in the millions. They basically came over here and settled in the big eastern cities, the Jewish quarter, etc. They're going to come out of here like you can't believe, right after the rapture and the announcement to get out of America. But the difference between the American Jews leaving here and Jews leaving up to this time, is that they're going to be believers. They're going to click over. And they're going to be coming home in a state of, I'm a believer. in Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. They will get a lot of help. There's a whole psalm devoted to it. They're going to get a lot of help. Facilitate in those tumultuous times the ability to travel, move around freely, which has been restricted due to some of the stuff in our country going on. It doesn't need to be from 9/11 forward, running people through all these hoops. Anyway, that's off topic. So, I have one other one here I want to look at. The one in Zechariah 6. Two six. This is Jews coming out of there. Another reference to the land of the north. Oh, there. It's like, hey, there. Flee from the land of the north, declares the Lord. For I have dispersed you as the four winds of the heavens, declares the Lord. He's the disperser, and he's the restorer in the historical process. Ho Zion, escape, you who are living with the daughter of Babylon. That's the USA, right there in front of you. Get out of America. Who is that guy? That pop singer? A Jew? Jewish guy? Coming to America. Had a big hit song, Coming to America, celebrating Coming to America, about immigration, which is the maybe the primary identity of the Babylon entity is a nation built on immigration. A major nation. A powerhouse nation. And there isn't any other nation on earth that is built strictly on immigration in modern times, except the United States. People continue and have come here from all the nations. They're going to be told to leave and go back to the nation their ancestors came from. They can figure that one out. That doesn't look like that's easy for me, but we don't have to do that. Thankfully, we don't have to do that. My ancestors come from England, France, so I don't know. Where'd I go? Don't have to worry about it. I'll be extracted out of here a different way. Anyway, this has to do with the United States and Russia. Those two verses right there in front of you. Christ will rule over them. That's obvious when restoration is complete. Israel will not ever again be threatened by the calamities of her past in the final phase in the kingdom on earth. And this new covenant will be established between God and all Israelis, from the least to the greatest. We haven't really developed that covenant in our studies. It's a new covenant. I haven't got all the details figured out on it. But there will be a universal compliance on the part of the Jews during this time with regard to the plan of God. You won't have groups of them over here that are hostile, negative, and all the rest. They're all going to be squared away. Well, how's that work with volition? I don't know. I only know that's what the prophet says. Everyone will be on board with the divine viewpoint among the Jews in this new covenant during the 1,000 years. That's the new covenant. You won't run into one of them that's off base spiritually. They will all be in agreement and have complete understanding of the rules and God's law and God's plan and live under it. And you cannot even imagine what kind of an environment that could possibly be, just socially and otherwise. You don't have to think, well, where's this person coming from? They're all coming from the same playbook, the Word of God and the understanding of it. But that's out ahead of them. Obviously, those that are in their resurrection body are all all are on the same page. Heaven wouldn't be heaven if we had a bunch of people up there with all kinds of different viewpoint. Everybody in heaven is on the same page, same understanding, no matter how poor of a believer they were spiritually down here. All right. Includes the restoration of the northern and southern kingdoms into one nation under God. The nation split into two nations at the death of Solomon. It'll be restored to be one nation according to those prophecies in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. We won't speak of a northern and a southern kingdom. It's one nation under God, under Yahweh, under Jesus Christ. One nation, which they were designed to be from the very beginning. He made it very clear to them from the first giving of the law. Do these things. There's grace embedded in it. You don't have to be perfect. Just stay away from apostasy and rejection of doctrine, and I'll make you the greatest nation on earth. Well, the closest they came to that was during the reign of Solomon. But then that quickly went away with the apostasy of leaders and people in some of the kings that followed. But in the kingdom of Christ on earth, Israel will be the lead nation on earth, what she was designed to be from the beginning. In every way that you consider positive a nation. A powerhouse, spiritually, materially, etc. But instead, they constantly had to be called back to God by prophets who were sent by God's grace to turn them around, and sometimes they responded, most times they didn't. And they dug a hole for themselves. It's called dispersion. You carry this to a certain point, I'm going to evict you from the land. That was the threat, and he made good on it. Now he's making good on the promise, I'm bringing you back. I'll bring you back as unbelievers, and then that will change. Phases of the final restoration. Okay, Israel's back to stay. I want to make that point. There's many threats against him, and there'll be some really big ones in the tribulation. There'll be some monumental threats against him. But in each of those threats from Gentiles, military threats will be shut down. God will use whatever he needs to use when the big Gog and Magog invasion occurs, which will include Iran. Iran's very hostile to the Jewish state. Very hostile. Iran funds these terrorists in the region, in Lebanon, Hamas and Hezbollah, these Muslims. They're calling overtly for the killing of all Jews and running them out of the land. Something's got to give there. And the Palestinians, all this mess that they're in the midst of, they come back in troublesome times. Yet, they're a prosperous nation. I didn't feel particularly threatened when I went there. There wasn't any, it was kind of a lull. There wasn't anything going on. The enemy wasn't lobbing missiles. There weren't people, Palestinians walking in to a mall with a machine gun. We didn't have any of that. And the nation was very advanced. I felt quite at home in one way. The shops were nice. The restaurants were nice. Transportation system. And all the rest of it. God has, and that's in the prophecy of the Valley of Dry Bones prophecy, where you go from a valley with bones scattered everywhere, and the bones are coming together, and there's a process until not the final thing, but as far as the body is concerned, skin is put on it. Skin protects everything beneath it. And that's their military. And probably the flesh is their economy. And they've had a fairly robust economy. They are not, yes, there's poor people in Israel like there are everywhere. But they have a robust economy. It's not third worldism, like a lot of countries that are in a third world state. All right, so Israel is back to stay. No longer will they be driven from their land. They will suffer. They will suffer in the day of wrath. But they'll all be given a clear roadmap what you need to do individually, just like today, what you need to do to be a survivor. And that, you know what that is here. That's to stick with Bible doctrine. Not flip out of here for any reason. Well, where are you going to go? That's so great. You don't follow, you follow doctrine, not family. If they're here, that's great. It's a blessing. If they're not, they're not. We're not about that. We're about telling people to follow the truth. And I get misrepresented on that, but that's on their head. I never told you to treat anyone bad, act arrogant around them. Give them the truth. They're not arrested. Then I'll make my friendships and relationships with members of the royal family and Maranatha Church. That's what I've always done. Otherwise, I'd be misleading people. Oh, it's okay. You go over there. In most instances, it isn't okay. And you want a more, you want, you know, Bud Light. You don't want the real thing. That's what you want. You don't want the real thing. Because it requires some things. Anyway, we'll hand out a doctrine at break. So let's take our break.